The Golden Age of Radio is on the air. Morehead State Public Radio presents classic old-time radio programs from radio's golden age, the 1930s through the 1950s. On this program of the Golden Age of Radio, a tribute to the dairy industry featuring Bob Hope, George Burns, and Gracie Allen. A movie preview of the 1939 film Dancing Co-Ed. And Dr. Harry Hagen is your host for True or False. Stay tuned for the Golden Age of Radio after today's news from NPR on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Later on today's show, a movie preview of the 1939 film Dancing Co-Ed, starring Lana Turner and the music of Artie Shaw. Also, test your knowledge as Dr. Harry Hagen is your host for True or False. Right now, a tribute to the dairy industry featuring Bob Hope, Hoagie Carmichael, George Burns, and Gracie Allen. As WMKY presents, the Golden Age of Radio.
Buttermilk sky, I'm keeping my eye peeled on you. What's the good word tonight? Are you gonna be mellow tonight? Oh, buttermilk sky.
June is Dairy Month.
Donkey and me.
These 30 days are dedicated to the cow and to the great dairy industry of which she is the foundation. More than 22 million cows and a countless number of men and women combine their efforts to bring us the milk and other wholesome dairy foods so vital to the good health of our nation. So, in tribute to this great industry, these farm families and your milkman bring you this June Dairy Month salute.
Barbara Hitchin Bowles, hitch me to the one I love.
Well, if it isn't old Hoagie Carmichael himself.
That's good old Hoagie.
Hey, Hoagie. Hey, it's nice to see you.
Bob Hoagie.
Yeah!
Hello, Robert. How are you, boy?
Good to see you.
Look, you know that old Buttermilk Sky that I just did? It has the honor of having been chosen as the theme song for June Dairy Month. You've heard of that, of course.
Yes, sir.
You know, Bob, this is the month when everybody salutes the cow. Mm. Those critters with all that plumbing and and no sink.
They're very important, those cows, though.
That's,
you know,
right.
It was very windy here yesterday. A farmer friend of mine said, I wouldn't have been here, but I had something to hang on. And June Dairy Month it is indeed. Well, there's a Mother's Day and a Father's Day, so I guess it's logical to give the cow a whole month. She deserves it, and how. Did you know, Hoagie, that a good cow will give 8,000 pounds of milk a year?
Tell me more.
No. That's what Bing Crosby, whose money-belted cattle roam the ranges over Nevada way, once told me. But I bet his cows don't get milk. It's a cinch. He gets it like everybody else. He takes it away from them.
You're so right, Robert. And just wait until Bing tells his cows that a whole month has been dedicated to them. If you, they'll probably want to stop work and take a 30-day vacation.
Wouldn't that upset his milk buckets, huh? Say, it says here that out of every $8 of national farm income, one is a dairy dollar. Boy, oh boy, with all those cows in Bing's ranch, those shekels must just roll in. Must be just pump and pump and pump all day long.
Well, you don't do so bad yourself, old man, with those oil wells. It just gush and gush and gush all the time. Oh, you're kidding.
I get just enough to keep my kid's skates oiled, that's all. Just a slight squish or two. And don't tell any jokes, Hoagie boy. Stick to those songs, will you please? Mm-hmm. I'm the comic here, you know. Mm-hmm. Now, while we're on the subject of jokes, what's that outfit you're wearing? Something you dreamed up to scare the cows into curdling their own milk, no doubt.
Sir, I'll have you know that this suit was made by a process of interweaving that inverts the anatomic intertexture, and that these habiliments evolved to my inventory through the eleemosynary and chauvinistic beneficence of sociolistic amortization.
What does that mean?
It was rejected by the Salvation Army.
Just great, that's all. Just great. And look who's sitting here with a real gone look on her real pretty face, Margaret Whiting. Say, Margaret, how come you're helping us celebrate this June Dairy Month tribute to the cows?
Just used a little pull in the right places, that's all.
All the singers are getting big laughs.
Bob, how come I haven't seen you around lately? Are you still at Paramount?
Yeah, after 10 years, I'm still a-milking them, gal. And I'm really a-shaking and a-quivering these days. Jell-O, too, you know, with whipped cream yet.
You know, I'm really surprised, though, that you're still at Paramount.
How come?
Well, I always thought Paramount was the eyes and ears of the world.
Sing, pretty one, sing. She's a real George Whiting, that Margaret. Well, dig who just came through the barn door. George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you for the glamorous introduction.
George, who was that?
Who was that?
Mm-hmm.
Bob Hope. Do you remember we went to the Pantages Theater and saw The Road to Valley?
Oh, and he was sitting in front of us.
Yeah, that's the fella. Well, Gracie, this is June Dairy Month, and we're supposed to do something.
Oh? Well, what do you think we ought to do?
About 5 minutes. As long as it's June Dairy Month, maybe we ought to talk about cows and chickens. Do you know, Gracie, there are 6 million people who go out and milk a cow every morning?
Oh, it's a wonder that poor cow doesn't run away.
Now, I'm surprised she doesn't myself.
But then again, where could she go? They wouldn't let her in the movies.
Look, Gracie, when I...
She'll self-conscious in the library.
Look, Gracie, when
I... Call for her to go to the beach.
Look, Gracie, when
couldn't
I...
Couldn't get very far
okay,
anywhere with
okay,
those 6 million
right,
people
right,
hanging
right.
on to her.
Gracie, do you know that 6 million people milk 23 million cows every day?
Oh, I knew that. My brother Willie used to work on a farm.
Then you must know something about it.
I do. Now, for instance, I know that white cows give white milk and brown cows give chocolate milk.
Yeah, when you milk a cow, you got to throw it on its back so the cream will go to the top.
I told you, my brother Willie works on a farm.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
And half of his cows must have been freezing. So I told him to get some sweaters, but he wouldn't listen. I heard him say...
Sweaters?
Yeah. I heard him say the farm had 40 Holstein cows, but only 20 Jerseys.
They probably took turns wearing them.
They also used to raise pedigreed hogs, but Willie didn't like it.
No money in it, huh?
No, it gave him an inferiority complex to know that the hogs came from a better family than he did.
All right, well, let's leave Willie on the farm and talk about something else.
He's not on the farm anymore. He lost his job.
Good, good.
Because he was left-handed.
Good.
And his boss was nearsighted.
Hold it, hold it. Willie lost his job because his boss was nearsighted and he's left-handed?
Mm-hmm. Well, you see what happened was... One dark night, they both went out at the same time to milk the same cow. But neither one knew that the other one was on the other side of the cow.
It was really a dark night.
Well, it was so dark, even the cow didn't know it.
Sounds very interesting.
Well, they both put their hands under the cow's crankcase.
Wait a minute. They put their hands under the cow's crankcase?
Yeah, and they got a hold of each other's fingers.
Sounds romantic.
But no matter how hard they squeezed, they couldn't seem to get any milk.
I can't understand that.
Well, you know, Willie couldn't understand it either because he squeezed hundreds of cows, but this is the first time a cow ever squeezed back.
Tracy, this has been very educational. I'd love to continue, but our 5 minutes is up.
Well, I've got a wonderful finish.
You have?
Mm-hmm. Goodbye, everybody.
I wrote that last line. Goodbye.
All thanks for the memory of our dairy industry. Good health for you and me. Just drink that milk, feel fine as silk, and strong you'll always be. And we thank you so much. You know, folks, June is Dairy Month, the month that has been set aside in tribute to the more than 1 million dairy farmers, their families, and to all the other men and women throughout our nation who work to bring you milk and all the other dairy foods of good health. Since Columbus brought the first dairy cattle to America, our nation has grown to be the strongest and healthiest in the world. Our thanks indeed to all those who are continuing to make this possible.
Margaret Whiting, Hoagie Carmichael, George Burns, and Gracie Allen for this transcribed salute to June Dairy Month. This program was brought to you as a public service in tribute to the men and women of California's dairy industry and was produced under the supervision of W.B. Woodburn, manager of the California Dairy Industry Advisory Board. This is Bill Goodwin.
When you suffer from irregularity and take mineral oil for relief, chances are that you get only halfway relief. You see, irregularity is frequently accompanied by acid indigestion, and when this is the case, you need a preparation that combines laxative action with antacid action to bring you thorough relief. Now, plain mineral oil can't do this, but a remarkable preparation called Haley's MO combines the correct proportions of pure mineral oil with the finest milk of magnesia. As a result, Haley's MO gives you thorough relief. Not only relieves irregularity, but acid upset as well. And Haley's MO is so gentle that it's frequently recommended for patients following delicate abdominal operations. When you see how much more Haley's MO does for you, you'll be amazed that it costs only about the same as high-grade mineral oil. You can identify Haley's M-O on the package.
Leo is on the air. This is your MGM radio reporter bringing you an air preview of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer's glorification of glitterbugs and jitterbugs, of campus swing and college fling in the new motion picture, Dancing Coed. And of particular interest to radio listeners is that Dancing Coed marks the first screen appearance of Artie Shaw and his band of the year, swinging it for the girl of the year, Lana Turner, supported by Richard Carlson, Ann Rutherford, Leon Errol, and Roscoe Carnes. Our air preview opens with one of the picture's introductory scenes, in which we discover that the stork is flying to and fro over the rooftop of a happily married Hollywood dancing team. The impending blessed event has upset the apple cart of the Monarch Picture Studio and its plans to star the couple in a million-dollar production. To say that the head of Monarch Pictures is displeased is to put it mildly. Listen, as he pours abuse on the head of his publicity man, haplessly played by Roscoe Carnes.
My publicity genius. This is a fine mess. Where have you been all morning? You're fired. Why didn't you keep an eye on them?
Listen, boss, a man's home is his castle, and this is a free country. You can't suppress fatherhood.
What is this, mutiny? What a business. What a business. Makes the sweetest things in life look sour. Ordinarily, I'm very fond of babies. But it's going to cost me $1 million.
Now, don't get excited, boss. I've got an idea that'll turn this whole thing into a stroke of luck.
That's right. Twist the knife in the wound.
Monarch's publicity genius cannot forestall the blessed event. All he can do is to hope and grope for an idea to stem the boss's wrath, which he does with more than hoped for success.
No kidding, boss. This is straight. Now look. All we need is another partner for Freddy. I know we can't get Powell or Rogers or any of those, so our best bet is an unknown.
Well, that's brilliant. Monarch's gift to the theater marquee. Freddy, Tobin, and Clark.
Oh, now, wait a minute. Let me finish. What does dancing co-ed suggest to you?
Headache.
Right. College girl. Now, my idea is to hold a contest.
Oh.
Visualize. Think of all the college girls in the United States jitterbugging from coast to coast. Thousands going wacky. On the Monarch Radio Hour, we announce the fact that Freddie Tobin wants a dancing partner, a co-ed, to star in Dancing Co-ed. Would that be a prairie fire?
Oh, everybody's suspicious of contests, including me.
Not this one, because you're going to be the judge, and who'd ever question your integrity? No one.
Yeah, there's something in that.
You want a name? How about this girl, chosen above all the co-eds in the United States? A clerk today, yes, but tomorrow, a comet streaking across the USA.
Hello? Artie Shaw in the building? Good, send him right up. I'm going to reroute Artie Shaw and his band through all the college towns and carry on the contest locally.
That's wonderful, boss. A great idea.
And so the life of a publicity man was saved, and a great idea was born. Our air preview continues as we hear the radio announcement of the contest and the introduction of Artie Shaw.
Hiya, Hot Feet. This is Freddie Tobin speaking. I'm here for a very special reason tonight, and it's noisy news for co-eds all over the United States. Monarch Studios has decided to hold a nationwide co-ed contest. We're going to pick one of you right off the campus. All we ask is be a co-ed. A co-ed and a dancer. And wherever you are, I'm coming after you. And Artie Shaw is coming with me. East, west, north, and south. To every important college from coast to coast. But wait. Here's Artie Shaw.
Was none other than Artie Shaw, King of Swing, just as you will hear him in Dancing Co-ed. But before we sign off, we'll ask Artie for just one more number, the one he plays during the finals of the contest. It wouldn't be cricket to let you in on the contest results, but we can tell you this much. Two of the finalists are glamour girl Lana Turner and Andy Hardy's girlfriend, Anne Rutherford. While Artie Shaw plays this closing number, try and guess the winner. Then see the picture to see if you were right.
Thank you.
You have been listening to the band of the year, Artie Shaw, swinging it for the girl of the year, Lana Turner, supported by Richard Carlson, Ann Rutherford, and funny men Leon Errol and Roscoe Kahn. In Dancing Poet, this is your MGM radio reporter saying thank you for listening.
You're listening to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY with a movie preview, the 1939 film Dancing Coed, and featuring the music of Artie Shaw. We also heard a tribute to the dairy industry featuring Bob Hope, Hoagy Carmichael, George Burns, and Gracie Allen. Stay tuned for more classic old-time radio from the 1930s through the 1950s. When the Golden Age of Radio continues on Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY at 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Right now, it's time to test your general knowledge as Dr. Harry Hagen is your host for True or False, as WMKY presents the Golden Age of Radio.
Silver is a better conductor of electricity than copper.
Do you think that's true or false?
At night, the starboard lights of a ship are green and the port lights red.
How would you answer that? True or false?
Buddhism is a much older religion than Christianity.
And that one, is it true or false? Dr. Harry Hagen's True or False program comes to you tonight from Cincinnati. This program is presented each week by the makers of Williams Shaving Cream, the people who have been making fine shaving preparations for nearly 100 years. In addition to Williams Shaving Cream, they give us Glider, the new non-oily brushless shave, and Aquavelva, the world's most popular after-shaving lotion. Now let me turn you over to the man you've been waiting to hear, your host and game leader, Dr. Harry Hagen.
Thank you, and good evening, everyone. And hello to Cincinnati. You know, it's a real thrill to be out here with so many friends of True or False, and it looks as though Cincinnati is going to come through with another first-rate contest for us, because here is the lineup. For the men, we have six determined young postal clerks, gentlemen who earn their bread and butter in the employ of the post office in Cincinnati. And they look as though they're going to be pretty tough to beat. But that doesn't seem to worry the ladies who are opposing them, not in the least. These are six members of Cincinnati's League of Women Voters. And they're a pretty competent lot themselves. They're captained by Mrs. Edward Parsons, Executive Secretary of the organization. Mrs. Parsons, we'd like to hear something about your team and about the League of Women Voters.
Hello.
Go ahead, recite the piece.
Well, it's very nice to be here and to greet you on behalf of the League of Women Voters. I don't know just what to say about our team, except that we all think we're very hard-working women.
And what is the... Might say something about the purpose of your League of Women Voters now in a few brief words?
Well, our purpose of our league is to educate women to enter politics and to be interested in government and to realize that government affects their lives just as closely as it does their husbands.
Well, thank you very much, Mrs. Parsons. Now I think a word from James Benvey, number one post office clerk, is in order. Captain Benvey, how do you feel about your chances tonight?
Well, we took a true-false contest to get our jobs, and we passed it with high averages, and I think we can master this one pretty well. However, if we go down, the best team will win.
Have no regrets.
There is a saying, though, that nothing can hold back the mail. Tonight, I'd like to add another word to that and say that nothing can hold back the male clerks.
Even the female. Right? All right. Thanks, James Benvey. And now, let's hear from Gene Trace, our vice president in charge of prizes. Come in, Gene.
Every one of the contestants on True or False tonight gets an attractive Williams gift kit, win or lose. But for the winning team, there's even more. A $5 bill goes to each member of that team. And the grand winner of the entire contest gets the grand prize of $25 in cash.
And so on with True or False to see where the postal clerk or woman voter will be the last one standing. Mrs. Edward Parsons, here's tonight's first True or False. Poached eggs are sometimes fried. Is that true or is it false?
It's false.
Correct. They're always poached, broken and dropped into water. All right, Captain James R. Benvey. Jimmy, children often have to eat milksops for dessert. Is that true or is it false?
What's that?
Children often have to eat milksops for dessert.
That's false.
Correct. You know what a milksop is?
No, sir.
You don't? Well,
I've never heard of one.
Never heard of one, a gentleman says. Well, Jimmy, I know you're not a milksop because it's a slang term meaning a crybaby or a sissy.
Well, I wouldn't even know anything about that.
All right, next on the list is Mrs. Morris Edwards. Mrs. Edwards, if you keep a colander, C-O-L-A-N-D-E-R, if you keep a colander on your desk, you never have to ask the date. True or false?
False.
You know what a colander is? Your answer is correct.
A sieve.
That's right. A calendar's a strainer. A calendar should give the desired information. All right. This is just Mr. Graydon Gallagher. Graydon, and I'll call you Gallagher for short, I guess. Wait for sparring for you. Now, warm, my son.
Just a little bit.
All right. Milk is an absolutely essential ingredient in soft custard. Is that true or is it false?
That is true.
Correct. Custard is a mixture of milk, eggs, and sugar, which is either boiled or baked. All right. So far, going along pretty well. Here's Mrs. Lowell Hobart, Jr. Mrs. Hobart, Parmesium, P-A-R-A-M-E-C-I-U-M. Parmesium is an Italian cheese which is usually grated and sprinkled over spaghetti. Is that true or is it false?
True.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's false. That's Parmesan. A Parmesium is a tiny animal. Well, that's one down for the Women's League of Voters, and that brings up to the fellow here, James R. Dabrowski. Beg pardon?
Dabrowski.
Oh, you are the Dabrowski.
Right.
Well, Jimmy, I'll call you Jimmy. Don't mind that. Jimmy, do you think a man should be boss in his own home?
Absolutely. I know one thing. I'm the boss in my home.
Good boy. Well. That's good boy.
Anyone that isn't boss in their own home should wear a petticoat.
Is that so?
That's right.
Any man that isn't boss in his own home should wear a petticoat, did you say?
Absolutely.
Oh, boy. Well, how long have you been married?
10 days.
10 days. Oh. Jimmy, you have lots to learn. Let me tell you that.
I hope I'm not locked out tonight when I get there.
What'd you say, Jimmy?
I hope I'm not locked out tonight.
Hope you're not locked out. Well, what do you care? You're still the boss. Well, Jimmy, is it true or false? Turkish coffee is thicker than American coffee. Turkish coffee is thicker than American coffee.
That is true.
Correct. It's both thicker and sweeter than ours. All right, now we have Mrs. Earl Galbraith. Mrs. Galbraith, white eggs have higher food value than brown eggs. Is that true or is it false?
False.
Correct. There's absolutely no difference between them in food value. Carl Braidbender. Is that right, Carl?
That's right.
Carl, wiener schnitzel is a popular French dish. Is that true or is it false?
False.
It's what kind of a dish?
German dish.
German dish. That's it. Say, listen, Carl. Would you say your husband was irresponsible because he forgot his wedding anniversary? Up the microphone.
Well, I don't know. I've got a solution for that, I think. Tonight happens to be my birthday, and if you get married on your birthday, you could hardly forget both dates.
That's right. Is the girl listening in?
She's here.
All right. Well, enough said for that. Mrs. Gilbert Bettman. Is that right, Mrs. Bettman?
That's right.
Mrs. Bettman, is it true or false? Egg yolks are used in making sponge cake.
That's true.
The yolks of eggs are a very important ingredient of good sponge cake. That's true. Now, Mrs. Bettman, do you think there will ever be a woman president of the United States?
Why, absolutely. I don't know why not. We have a member of the cabinet. We have had a minister to Denmark. Mm-hmm. We have a federal judge.
Yes, you
have. Woman couldn't make a worse job of it than the men do.
Oh. Well, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. Anyway, here's Clem Volkerding. Is that right, Clem?
Correct.
All right. Is it true or false? Boleros, B-O-L-E-R-O-S. Boleros are often worn in the spring.
It's false.
Oh, I'm sorry. It is true. They're short jackets with or without sleeves. I'm awfully sorry. And all these girls have, well, quite a few girls have boleros on tonight. I see a couple of them radio audience. Well, scores so far. We have five remaining for the women and five for the men. Then we have Mrs. William Hessler up before us. Mrs. Hessler, is it true or false that canopies, C-A-N-O-P-I-E-S, canopies are often served with cocktails?
False.
You know what a canopy is?
Yes, it's an awning.
An overhanging shelter or shade. Canapes are often served with cocktails. They're spelled C-A-N-A-P-A-Y-S. Alois Ealing, is that right?
That's right.
Say, Alois, are you married?
No, I'm not.
I thought I'd ask you first. The other fellow's married 10 days, and he bought his own home. Well, why is it that people usually cry at weddings, you know, friends and relatives and so forth, you know?
Well, they must be crying for someone, but what I like to know before I marry is who they're crying for.
Well, they're married. Well, I don't know. You got me there. Well, all right, now listen. Sliced bananas, I beg your pardon. Sliced bandanas and cream make a very tempting breakfast dish.
That's false.
Well, that's right. A bandana is a large and usually bright colored handkerchief. It's often worn tied around the neck. That's right. Well, now we've completed one round. We have the score, 5 for the women and 5 for the men. We have Captain Mrs. Edward Parsons before the microphone. Mrs. Parsons, is it true or false? The Battle of Manila Bay was a naval engagement of the Spanish-American War.
True.
Correct. Manila Bay was the scene of the victory of Admiral Dewey over the Spanish on May 1st, 1898. Captain James R. Bennett. Jimmy, do you think a husband should hand over his pay envelope to his wife every week?
Well, I haven't that much experience, but to start off with, yes. And if things didn't go just right, well, I'd take things in my own hands.
You take things? Well, what would you do then? Took things to say, take things in your own hands. What would your solution be?
Well, I'd just give her so much, and if she asked where the rest was, I'd say insurance or something was deducted.
Oh, the insurance. I see. In other words, the deducts would get it.
The deducts would have it.
Deduct here, deduct there. I see. That's a good solution, by the way. All right, is it true or false? A rudder, R-U-D-D-E-R, is a young British sailor.
False.
Correct. A rudder is a device which directs the course of a vessel. Mrs. Morris Edwards. Mrs. Edwards, true or false, the Battle of Jutland, or Jutland, J-U-T-L-A-N-D, was a famous naval battle of the Spanish-American War.
False.
Correct. The Battle of Jutland was a naval engagement of the World War, fought May 31st, 1916, between British and German fleets. Graydon Gallagher, now I'm going to give you a special question that won't count the score, Graydon. Here it is. True or false, it's the thickness of the feathers that makes water roll off a duck's back. Won't count the score. What would you say to that?
I didn't understand the question.
It's the thickness of the feathers that makes water roll off a duck's back.
False.
False. Of course it is. The statement is false. It's the oil on the feathers that makes water roll off a duck's back. A duck has large oil glands in the skin that keeps its feathers covered with oil. And you know, you may be surprised to hear it's a lot the same way with a man's whiskers. And it's a point that's very important to remember when shaving. How about it, Gene Trace? Is that true or is it false?
That's true, Dr. Hagen. The sebaceous glands in a man's skin give out oil that gradually covers his whiskers. So in the morning, you can be sure there's a coating of oil on your beard that you've got to get rid of before you can make much headway in softening up your whiskers. But make sure you get Williams. Williams Shaving Cream.
Graydon Gallagher, are you married?
No, not yet.
You know, well, when you do get married, do you think a wife should pick up after her husband, you know, socks, shoes, so forth?
Why, absolutely.
You do? Oh, I don't know. Why do you think so? Well, that woman won't agree with you.
Well, if the wife didn't pick it up, who's going to pick it up?
That's right. That's right. All right there, Greg. You'll find out. Greg, here's one we gave last week. A posthumous novel is one written after the death of the author. True or false?
False.
Correct. It's one published after the death of the author. Correct. Mrs. Earl Galbraith is next. Mrs. Galbraith, is it true or is it false? A halyard H-A-L-Y-A-R-D. A halyard is a rope or wire used to hoist a sail.
Yes.
That's true.
True.
The answer's correct. James Dabowski is next. Jimmy, an ensign, E-N-S-I-G-N, is a flag flown on a ship. True or false?
That is true.
Correct. An ensign is also a naval officer. Correct. Mrs. Bettman's next. Mrs. Bettman, in sailing, the log measures the speed at which a boat travels.
True.
Correct. The log is an instrument which measures the speed of a boat. It's also a day-by-day record of a voyage. Carl Braidbender's next. Carl, the crew's quarters are often in the forecastle. Is that true or false?
Got that question over again, please?
Yeah, the crew's quarters are often in the forecastle. Is that true or false?
True.
Correct. The forecastle, or forecastle, some people say, is a compartment below the forward deck usually reserved for crew. Mrs. William Hessler, if you hear two bells on board an American ship, you may safely assume that it's either 12:30, 4:30, or 8:30 o'clock. That's
true.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's false. You should know that it's either 1, 5, or 9 o'clock. Alois Ealing. Alois, is it true or false? At night, the starboard lights of a ship are green and the port lights red.
That's true.
That's correct. Captain Edward Parsons is next. Mrs. Parsons, the Europa is Germany's largest ship. Is that true or is it false?
It's true.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's false. The Bremen is larger than the Europa. James Benning is next. Jimmy, the flag of an admiral in the United States Navy consists of a blue background with three stars forming a triangle in the center. Is that true or is it false?
It's false.
Correct. That's a vice admiral's flag. The admiral's flag has four stars. Mrs. Morris Edwards. Mrs. Edwards, the United States Naval salute for visiting royalty is 18 guns.
That's true.
I'm sorry. It's 21 guns. 21 guns for visiting royalty. Graydon Gallagher, upon graduation from Annapolis, a midshipman assumes the rank of second lieutenant in the United States Navy. Is that true or is it false?
I believe that is true.
I'm sorry. No, it is false. He assumes the rank of ensign. Well, now the score. We have remaining for the women, two, and for the postal clerks, four. Two and four. All right, next up is Mrs. Galbraith. Mrs. Galbraith, is it true or is it false? The chief use of a regicide, R-E-G-I-C-I-D-E, is to destroy insects. The chief use of a regicide is to destroy insects.
False.
Correct. You know what a regicide is?
Yes.
What is it?
That's a person who killed.
That's right. A regicide is the murder of a king. An insecticide destroys the insect. James Grabowski. Jimmy, plagiarism is a method for converting wood pulp into silk.
That is false.
Correct. You know what plagiarism is?
I don't believe I do.
Don't believe it, though. Well, plagiarism means the stealing of someone else's ideas or artistic productions and using as one's own. Mrs. Gilbert Bettman. Mrs. Bettman, the boll weevil is a machine of great importance to cotton growers. Is that true or is it false?
That's false.
Correct. The boll weevil is an insect which infests the cotton plant. Carl Braidbender. Carl, a spear, S-P-H-E-R-E, is a weapon with a long shaft and sharp head.
False.
Correct. That's a spear. A spear is a globe or ball. Well, score. Still four for the gentlemen and two for the ladies. Mrs. Galbraith, the solar plexus is a large sunspot. True or false?
False.
You know where the solar plexus is?
Right here.
And she points right in the abdomen. Yes, that's right. The solar plexus is part of the human anatomy. A nervous center in the back of the abdomen. Alois Elling. Alois, sound travels faster in hot air than in cold air. True or false? Sound.
I have that again.
Yes, sound travels faster in hot air than in cold air.
That would be true.
Correct. Right you are. Mrs. Bettman. Mrs. Bettman, an asterisk. An asterisk is a small star which revolves around a planet. True or false?
False.
You know what an asterisk is?
Yeah. It's a star used in
shape,
to
punctuation
show
mark. That's right. Often used to call attention to a footnote. Jimmy Bendry. Jimmy, a square foot of gold always weighs more than a square foot of silver. A square foot of gold always weighs more than a square foot of silver.
That's false.
Correct. It all depends upon its thickness. Correct. Mrs. Galbraith, the bubbling of carbonated water is caused by the release of carbon dioxide. True or false?
True.
Correct. Water dissolves more than its own volume of carbon dioxide under normal pressure. Placed under normal pressure, releases the excess gas. That's what causes the bubbling. Jimmy Dabrowski. Jimmy, Physiognomy is the branch of science which deals with body culture. True or false?
That is true.
I'm sorry. It is false. The physiognomy is the face. It's also the art of reading character from the features. Well, we have two women and three postal clerks left. Now, Mrs. Gilbert Bretman, the sun is a large planet. True or false?
False.
Correct. It's a star. Carl Braidbender is next. Carl, is it true or false? Marquisette is a name given to the wife of a marquis.
False.
Correct. Well, where's Marquisette? You don't know. Well, you'll find out. You'll find out. Marquisette is a material. A marchioness is the wife of a marquis. All right, Mrs. Galbraith. Is it true or false? Charlotte Russe was a French woman who assassinated Murat.
False.
Correct. That was Charlotte Corday. Charlotte Russe is a dessert made of sponge cake and cream. Very good, too. Very fattening, too. Alois Elling. Ealing, rather. Alois Robespierre was a French royalist. True or false?
That's false.
Correct. He was a French revolutionary leader who caused many to be guillotined. Mrs. Gilbert Bretman, in the presidential election of 1916, Woodrow Wilson was a Republican candidate. True?
False.
Correct. He was a victorious Democratic candidate. Well, well, still, three for the men and two for the women. Who's going to win this contest tonight? I don't know. Maybe you can find out. James Benny, then V. George Washington was inaugurated president in 1783. True or false? George Washington was inaugurated president in 1783.
That's false.
Correct. He was inaugurated for the first time in 1789, the second time in 1793. Mrs. Galbraith, John Hancock and Samuel Adams were Massachusetts patriots. True or false?
True.
Correct. Right you are. My, my. Carl Braidbender, Alexander Hamilton and Thomas Jefferson were great political antagonists. True or false?
False.
Oh, I am sorry, it's true. Thomas Jefferson was the leader of the Democratic Republican Party, which favored strong state powers. Alexander Hamilton led the Federalist Party, which believed in strong federal power. Now, Mrs. Bettman has a special question to be off the record. True or false? Hair grows faster at night than in the daytime. That is on the face, I mean.
I'm sure I wouldn't know.
Well, what would you say?
I'd say true.
Well, the statement is false. It doesn't count as false, so it's all right. Authorities say that hair grows faster during the day than it does at night. That's why it's so important for a man to get a clean, close shave in the morning. Otherwise, he's apt to have a pretty dark chin by late afternoon. And now here are pointers on how to get a clean, close shave.
Get a tube of Williams Shaving Cream tomorrow. There are several different sizes, but bear in mind, you get twice as many shaves at a 40% saving when you buy the big double-sized tube. The name to remember is Williams. Williams Shaving Cream.
All right, Mrs. Bettman. The score tonight, ladies and gentlemen, between the Women's League voters of Cincinnati and the postal clerks of Cincinnati is tied. Two for the men and two for the women. And here is a chance now to ask Mrs. Bettman the question. Mrs. Bettman, polygamists are exempt from federal income taxes. True or false?
False.
Correct. A polygamist is a man or woman married to more than one person at once. They pay taxes the same as you and I. Alois Ealing, Alois, the initials NLRB are the common abbreviation for the National Labor Relations Board. True or false?
That's true.
Correct. Mrs. Galbraith, Mrs. Galbraith, the Irish Free State is a member of the League of Nations. True or false?
False.
I'm sorry, it is true. It was admitted to the League in 1923. Now, Captain Bendry and you and your partner here, Alois Ealing, are appearing against this, Mrs. Bettman. Now, it's your two men against one woman. So here it is. You ready for it?
Yes, sir.
All right. Poland is a kingdom. True or false?
That's false.
Correct. Poland is what?
Republic.
Right you are. Mrs. Bettman. Italy is a kingdom. True or false?
True.
Correct. Victor Emmanuel III is the king of Italy. Alois Ealing. Alois, Canada is a member of the League of Nations. Is that true or is it false?
That's false.
Oh, I am sorry. It is true. Well, once again, we're tied. Now, the first one to make a mistake on this tonight's broadcast means the other team wins. And the coincidental part of this thing is this. Either one of these people are entitled to $25 in cash besides winning the team prize. So, be on your toes. Mrs. Bettman, if you earn less than $1,000 a year, you're exempt from federal income tax. True or false?
True.
Right you are. Captain James Benby. Jimmy, how do you feel?
Well, I feel like I'm on the Last of the Mohicans, sir.
Last, all right, now here. Acrimony, A-C-R-I-M-O-N-Y, is what a man pays his divorced wife. True or false?
That's false.
Correct, right you are. Mrs. Gilbert Bettman. Mrs. Bettman, 10 Downing Street is the address of the Bank of England. True or false?
False.
Correct. It's the official residence in London of the prime of the British Prime Minister. Jimmy Benvey, using the mails to defraud is a federal offense. True or false?
That's true.
That's correct. Right you are. Well, well, who's going to win this contest? Boy, is this really getting close. Mrs. Gilbert Bettman. Mrs. Bettman, penology is a science which that treats with crime. Is that true or is it false? Penology is a science that treats with crime.
I should say that were true.
Correct. It's a science that treats with the punishment and prevention of crime. James R. Benvey. Jimmy, the state is a prosecutor in a murder case. True or false? The state is a prosecutor in a murder case.
That's true.
Right you are. Mrs. Bettman, the United States ambassador to France is William C. Bullitt. True or false?
True.
Right you are. Jimmy, if I sue you for libel, I'm the defendant. Is that true or is it false? If
That's
I sue.
False.
Correct. You're the defendant. I'm the plaintiff. All right. Well, well, well. In this United States, a national census is taken every 10 years. How about that, Mrs. Benson? That's true or false?
True.
Right, you are. Correct. Jimmy, in the United States Army, a major ranks higher than a colonel.
That's true.
Oh, I am sorry it's false. I'm sorry it's false, and that means the Women's League voters won tonight's contest. And the last question to win this contest tonight, given to Captain Jimmy Benvey, the true or false was, in the United States Army, a major ranks higher than a colonel. He says true. The answer is false. A colonel ranks higher than a major. Now, come up here, Mrs. Bettman. On behalf of the William Shaving Cream people, I give you $25 for yourself.
Oh, well,
yes, sir.
Thank you very much. And in behalf of the League of Women Voters, I accept it with great pleasure.
Oh, just a minute. The pleasure's all mine. You can't do that. Wait a minute. Oh, whoa, don't go away. Here's $25 more to be divided among the 5 remaining women of your team. Thank you very, very much.
Well, the League of Women Voters is delighted, and I'm sure we'll educate a great many voters with this additional money from the William Shaving
Cream. Well, now, just a minute. If you can educate your husbands to use William Shaving Cream, or educate all the Women's League of Voters all over the United States to use William Shaving Cream, I'm happy to give you the $50.
I assure you my husband needs no education in that
line. Education. Well, don't you think the boys are pretty good? Come up here, Jimmy. Jimmy Benvey, I'm sorry I didn't win, Jim, but you're very, very good. Very, very good. Yes, sir, I think Jimmy needs a lot of applause. He's a fine, upstanding young man. He's going to go far in the Postal Service. Good luck and congratulations, Jimmy. Have anything to say?
Well, best team won.
The best team. There you are. Very good, Jimmy. Did a fine job. Now, next Monday evening, we'll find us back on our regular stamping grounds in New York City. And now, believe me, Cincinnati friends, when I say we've had a swell time here tonight, I mean just that. And we had a swell contest. And I really hope we'll be back here again to see you all soon. And now let me say, as all good friends come to the parting of the ways, and for the makers of William Shaving Cream and myself, good night and good luck to you all. And thank you.
This program came to you from Cincinnati through the National Broadcasting Company.
Most Saturdays at this time, we spend an exciting half hour of adventure and action with America's public hero number one, Hopalong Cassidy. Well, even two-fisted cowboys take summer vacations when they can, and Hoppy is no exception. Hopalong and Topper will be back with us riding the CBS air trails again September 22nd.
I want to learn about love from you. I want to learn what a kiss can do from you, from you, from you. Take me, teach me how a heart should feel.
How should it feel?
When to know it's real,
it's real.
I yearn to learn. What should I whisper when we're alone, 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 alone?
All alone, do.
How would I go about making you my own, my own, my own?
All my own, do.
What are the things I'm missing?
Do-do.
I think it's time I knew.
Ooh.
I want to learn about love, love, love from you, you, you.
Do, 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 do.
I want to learn about love from you.
You do, you do, you do.
Yes, I do.
You want to learn what a kiss can do.
I do from you.
Do, do, do.
Take me, teach me how a heart should feel.
How should it feel?
When to know it's real, I yearn to learn.
Do, 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 do.
What should I whisper when we're alone, 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 alone?
By myself.
How would I go about making you my own, my own, my own?
All my own.
What are the things I'm missing? I think it's time I knew. I want to learn about love, love, love from you. From you. Just you.
The Golden Age of Radio on WMKY, Ella Fitzgerald and the Daydreamers. I Want to Know About Love from 1947. We also heard an episode of True or False with Dr. Harry Hagen. This has been the Golden Age of Radio, classic old-time radio programs from the 1930s through the 1950s. Material for this program provided by the Internet Archive, an online nonprofit library of books, movies, music, and old-time radio shows. On the web at archive.org. Tune in again for the Golden Age of Radio next week at the same time and channel on WMKY at 90.3 FM and online at WMKY.org.